Welcome to the Santam Ensure Your Future Money Bootcamp with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And me, Mapalo Maku. To give our listeners a bit of background, we have been working with Santam staff members where we take them through a money bootcamp.
And last year, after seeing the amazing changes these individuals went through, we realized there was an opportunity to take this money journey to a broader audience. So thank you very much to Santam for sponsoring this podcast.
In our last episode, we spoke about life and risk cover. This is insurance against something going wrong with us, our health. But equally important is health insurance to help pay for those medical bills. And it is not just about doctor visits, but also if something goes very wrong, we end up in the hospital or requiring chronic treatment. Sadly, in South Africa, we cannot necessarily rely on government health options. So most people use private sector, which means having some kind of health cover.
So today, we're joined by Mbali Khumalo of Semenka Health. And the reason we've invited Mbali is because Semenka Health are healthcare consultants. So they actually help their clients select the correct medical cover option for their needs, which is exactly, Mapalo, what we need today. And Mbali is going to give us the lowdown on medical schemes, gap cover, and medical insurance. So welcome, Mbali.
Thank you, Maya.
So I think I'm going to start with myself, Mbali. Today we're going to be using myself as an example and to say, do I need to review my medical aid and how do I go about it? Because I'll give you a scenario. I'll tell you my story. Recently, a couple of months ago, I was looking at my finances and I thought to myself, you know what? I need to review my expenses because currently, I'm on a survival budget.
And which we have spoken about in previous podcasts.
Which we have spoken about in the previous podcast, exactly. And out of my own, you know, thinking, I went onto the website and I chose the next lowest payment plan. Is that the way to choose a medical aid? How do you go about it?
Not at all. Firstly, I just want to cover the initial part of your question to say, do you need to review? Everybody, irrespective of the circumstances, everybody needs to review their medical scheme cover every year. Because your circumstances changes, your needs changes, the medical schemes review options on an annual basis. So what could have met your needs the previous year might not be the case the following year if you just allow yourself to roll over to the next year without reviewing. Then coming to the second part of your question to say you went through the website and you look and you bought what was
affordable
yes. for you.
Yes.
That is definitely not the right thing to do. That is why we are here as healthcare consultants and advisors, because you need to, I know that healthcare is a grudge purchase,
yes.
but you and we are all tight. Budget is tight for everyone. You're not the only one. But you need to make sure that you buy cover that will meet your needs. What are your family needs? What is your, yes, you take into account your affordability, but you look at your needs first. There's a lot of choice in the industry. I'm sure you looked at just one medical scheme.
Yes, so literally I went on to our current medical scheme. I looked at how much we're paying. I said, goodness, this is a lot of money. Right? And I said, okay, what other options does this medical scheme, the one that we're on currently, what else does it offer? I looked at all the price points and I said, okay, if I go to the lowest one after what I'm paying, I'll be saving 2,000 bucks.
So 2,000 rand is a lot of money.
Yes. So yep. That's how I came to that number.
Do you have any idea what your cover is?
I do not know. I know is that I have medical aid, and my thinking as a parent to two boys, my thinking was I still need to have medical aid should anything happen, should my boys need to get to the hospital, see a doctor, along those lines. That's how I based my decision. And also, I thought to myself, okay, I'm not on the lowest one, so surely I must have some benefits still.
Okay. So I'm so glad we brought Mbali here, because Mapalo really needs some help. And yep. I'm sure many of the people listening saying, oops, that's how I selected yep. my medical plan as well. And in fact, to be honest, I haven't a clue how my medical scheme works. And I just want to tell you, I'm the same. I mean, I only recently discovered that I had missed out on all the preventative screening options that my medical scheme offered because I didn't know I had to get pre-authorization, right? So it's really, really, really worth finding out about your medical scheme. So what are the, how would you go about it? What are the first questions Maplo should be asking?
Yeah.
So the first questions is really, is your scheme that you were on the only thing that exists in the industry? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. So you have a variety to look at. You need to look at what your options are, which is where Simeka Health comes in, because we have tools that does the comparison across the industry. And you can then narrow it down to options, to schemes that are a possibility to solve your problems, and then you drill down to options. And even if you get to the lowest option, I am sure now after making that choice, you find that when you go and see a healthcare service provider, you have to pay out of pocket either for a consultation or when you go to the pharmacy, you need to pay this because you didn't take all those things into account. So you need to look at what is it offering you. Is it a hospital plan? Because a hospital plan is not going to pay for your day-to-day. Hospital plan is only going to cover if you are hospitalized. And some hospital plans will only cover your prescribed minimum benefits. Those are the conditions that are prescribed by the government that medical scheme must cover. There's a list of 271 of them. It sounds like a lot, but you'll be surprised how much you go out of that scope and you find yourself having to pay because it falls outside the PMB.
Sure.
There are those that covers conditions over and above your prescribed minimum benefit. And they will say that they will cover 200% of the scheme rate, which is another discussion.
Okay. That's a really important discussion. So there's two things I want to unpack in that. And one is the extended benefits, because I know certainly when I was looking and my child had a chronic condition that wasn't necessarily covered under PMBs, I wanted to look at something that extended it. But this hospital rate thing, because that's actually what you want to go to hospital and know
that you will get help.
That you're covered.
Yeah.
So there is not one scheme that have the same scheme rate. Medical schemes, it is not prescribed or anything. Medical schemes just decide that for whatever condition or for whatever procedure, this is our scheme rate. We will pay for your dental basic dentistry, we will pay 2,000 rands. So that is your scheme rate. If you then go to a dentist that charges 6,000 rands, that is 300% of scheme rate. The scheme will pay at 100% of scheme rate, not the provider charge. Mm-hmm. That is where people get confused that, but my scheme is paying 100%. It's 100% of scheme rate. It's important to understand what the scheme rate is. That is why we get those fat brochures every year at the beginning of the year, because the limits will change. Those limits for those scheme rates changes every year. So it's important to know that this is the scheme rate for optical, this is the scheme rate for dental, this is the scheme rate for this and that. Because then you can then arrange that. It's either you then buy gap cover, which will help you to cover the difference, because if your doctor, which 9 out of 10 times, especially specialists, almost all specialists, charges over above the scheme rate, except if it's in a network, because if it's in a network, then they have an arrangement with the medical scheme and the scheme says, this is my scheme rate, you will charge so much and you will get more fees from me as a scheme.
Mm. So what is this network that you speak of?
Okay, the network is medical schemes go out and negotiate prices with providers, hospitals, specialists, GPs, all the healthcare service providers. So you will join a scheme and then they will say, okay, you can choose from this plan, you can access any hospital. And if you choose this one, you can access a network of hospitals. Mm. And you find that a difference, there's a huge difference in terms of contributions that you pay. Because the one, you can walk into the hospital down the road and you get serviced without having to pay anything. Where it's a network, you might have to travel 5 more kilometers, but it buys you a 2,000 rand savings in your contribution on a monthly basis.
Oh, I'll take that.
So it's important. And it's important when you buy a plan with a network that you look at your needs, you look at where you live, where are you comfortable to go, and all that stuff. That's the first thing to look at. Buying a plan and option with a network is more affordable. It's much cheaper. But where is the network and which hospital groups? There are people who are finicky about the hospital groups they prefer. There are people who have a GP that they've had from childhood. It's been a family doctor forever. I don't want to lose that history. Yeah. I don't want to go and start a new relationship with a new GP. I want to stick to that GP. It's important then to check, is he on the network or he's not on the network? You might even ask your medical scheme if they can add your GP to the network. And it forms part of the network and you pay a much lesser contribution.
So talking about the network, Maya, for me, how I kind of also thought about it was, okay, I'm going to choose the one that provides the network, but I looked at, okay, where do we stay? What hospitals are around that I'm comfortable going, that myself and my kids would be comfortable? Then I looked at areas where we sort of travel maybe once or twice a year, Durban, Cape Town, and I said, if we go to this area, will we find those network of
you
doctors?
You did well there.
Yeah, so at least there is something I did.
And one thing, though, and I think we must also clarify, is, and again, it comes to different schemes. So some schemes have the network option, and then there's a whole lot of obviously benefits they give you within there, but some of them may be limited in order to keep that price down.
Yeah.
Where another scheme will say you have exactly the same plan A with a network of hospitals, or plan A without a network of hospitals. So you're still getting all the same benefits as everybody else, except you are limited to the specific hospitals you go
yes.
to. So, and for me, sometimes one, you must be careful that when you choose a network, if they start prescribing, that their actual benefits are lower. Because that's another way for them to bring the price down. And you think the only thing you're giving up is choice, but it may actually be
benefits as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's an important differentiator as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other one that I also always look at is, what does my scheme pay from savings and what does my scheme pay from risk? And some schemes, for example, we get an MRI every year. My husband uses it every year because he crashes off his mountain bike. So it's very important. But some schemes do not include an MRI from risk. It comes from your savings. So those are also some of the things to look at.
Yes, it is definitely some of the things that you need to look at, because you will find generally all chronic treatment will come off your risk cover. Your hospitalization comes off your risk cover, your chronic treatment comes off your risk cover, and your GP consultations will come off your savings, your medication will come off your savings. But it depends on the option as well, because if you go on, if you take your traditional comprehensive cover, it doesn't have a savings. You might find that the traditional options don't have savings. Everything comes from risk. Then you get to the newer generation ones that have savings and risk. And there are some where you get some of the, like you're saying, there will be options where MRI is paying from savings, but there will be options where it comes from. It depends on how the scheme structures its benefits. And that's why the education is very important. It's not something that you can just go online and just decide, oh, here's the cheapest and I'm buying that. There's a lot of things that you need to look at and make sure, especially if you have existing conditions, you need to make sure that anything that might happen, any eventuality that is a possibility with your condition, is covered to what level. If you get something that with a limited cover and you know that you're not going to have enough, if should an event strike, it's important to have gap cover then, because you know that that difference will be paid by your gap cover. Mm. Because your gap cover will cover everything that is covered by your scheme, but it will say 500% of scheme rate. Mm. So now you already, you have your scheme paying 100%, your doctor is charging 400%, then your gap cover picks up the difference. But it's also important with gap cover to know if that is covered by your scheme, because if the scheme doesn't cover the treatment, then gap cover doesn't pay.
Okay, so let's take a step back, because, you know, when it comes to medical aids, there are so many terms that get thrown around that I have no cooking clue. So I have two questions. We speak about the risk side and the saving side. How do they determine how much of your contribution goes towards the risk and how much of your contribution goes towards the savings, right? Then the second question is around gap cover. So if I did not have medical aid, for example, I cannot get gap cover. Is that what you're saying?
If I, no, you can't have gap cover if you don't have medical aid.
Okay.
It's, yeah. It's a supplementary product for medical aid.
And you know, I've seen, this has been a complaint coming out from advisors who've seen unethical advisors selling gap cover to people who do not have medical aid. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Do not take our gap cover unless you have a medical aid, not a medical insurance, which we'll talk about later. Medical aid.
Mm. And even then, you mentioned something very shocking, that you have to look at the benefits that your medical aid has, and the gap cover needs to sort of supplement what it is that you already have with your medical aid. It can't just be for any other benefits.
Yeah.
That is insane.
So it'll only pay, it tops up
whatever the benefits you have.
Yes.
I like that. Why don't we use simple words? Like it tops up. Yeah.
Not gap
top
cover.
Up cover.
Just top up. Top up cover. Maplo and I have read
it's gap a gap between the medical and what the scheme covers and what you need to pay out of pocket. That's the gap. Watch the gap.
Yeah. Okay, so watch the gap. So let's go back to that first question. What part of your contribution is going towards savings, and why did they do both risk and savings when it comes to medical aid? Because with the last on the last range that I was on with my medical aid, I always had savings. Do I really need savings? Because then it means that I'm paying a premium for something that I can pay myself.
It's a good question.
It's your own money. And medical schemes are continuously trying to manage cost, because we're all complaining that medical schemes are expensive. So one of the way of doing that is to manage the spend, how much limits are allocated to each condition. So if they then outsource and empower you to use, to manage your funds, when they come with the contributions, and every medical scheme applies a different methodology, they will allocate a portion of your contributions to the savings. So you build up your savings. It's exactly the same as you were going to use your credit card if you were to pay out of pocket. But the scheme set the money aside for you. They allow you to use the whole year contribution. So if you are paying 100 rand towards savings for the whole year, the scheme will allow you to use 1,200 in January. From January, you get a whole year amount, but you then pay it on a monthly basis until, which is why people end up with depleting their money quickly. And if you were to resign from the scheme halfway down the year, you then end up with a debt. The scheme follows you, saying you have savings debt, because you depleted your savings in May, and then you resigned from the scheme in June, but you owe the scheme then the other 600 rand which they borrowed you at the beginning of the year, and you were going to pay it back on a monthly basis until December.
I have many feelings about that, but
so I mean, for us, we have a savings portion. Our particular scheme allows us to select that, so we can choose if it's 5%, 10%, whatever. So we select, and I think we do have it because we know we have it. We know how much we're kind of going to spend on blood tests or whatever. So we do have it, but certainly you don't have to have it. But again, it's often in the structure of the plan, and again, this is where medical schemes are so different. Some medical schemes really do a building block approach, so you can pick and choose. Like, I want a hospital plan, but I want a bit of savings, or I want this plan, but I want to be in the network hospital, or yes. I'll choose this plan, but I don't, because I don't have chronic medication. I'm going to choose for state medication. These are all ways of bringing down the premiums and control. And I think we've seen more and more of that.
Yes,
but I think but the problem is a scheme sometimes includes the savings as part of that particular plan, and some allow you to select it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just depends on the scheme design. They're trying to find a way of being unique. Every scheme is trying different things, but at the end of the day, it's all very similar. But that flexibility gives you choice, and it gives you that right to choose what you think you need. The pick and choose approach. You then select what you need, and by doing that, you automatically educated in terms of what you have, because you know that, okay, I'm selecting 20% of savings because then I know that I don't have to keep too much savings in my bank account in an event that I need to take the kids to the doctor. I know I have my savings to cover my day-to-day expenses.
I want you also go on to this co-payments, because co-payments are another way to bring down your monthly premium. So a good example would be Mapalo's probably not going to be having a hip replacement anytime soon. She's still young. So she could select a scheme that has quite a high co-payment on certain elective procedures. Is that a good strategy?
It is actually a good strategy. You simplify this. I always use car insurance because most people are familiar with the car insurance, and given that we've been on a journey with Santam, that's a very simple explanation. So when you buy your car and you buy insurance for your car, you then pay excess. There's excess. And then you choose if you want to pay a lower excess, your premium is higher. If you want a lower premium, your excess is higher. Exactly the same methodology works with medical scheme. If you opt to have a higher co-payment, your contribution, your monthly contribution is lower, because then you make up with the co-payment. You make this decision, an informed decision, that whenever I need to have access to this benefit, I have so much co-payment, therefore I need to have money saved for that. But it helps you because on a monthly basis, then your contribution is lower.
And does Gap Cover cover the co-payment?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I want to just talk a little bit about Gap Cover. We've spoken about it, but how much do you pay for Gap Cover? So now say, for example, you've got a scheme that's what is your scheme currently costing you?
$6,800.
For a family of four, 6,800 rand. We're going to get onto affordability just now. What Gap Cover would Mapalo now need to pay on top of that for a family of four? What could she expect
for
to pay?
For a family of four, I'm sure you will pay something around 400-500 rands.
It
Gap Cover is very, very reasonable. It's very affordable. It depends, though, there are retail prices. So if you buy as an individual, you get a retail rate, which is slightly higher than a corporate rate. So if it's part of your employer solution, if you participate and it's part of the employer condition of employment, then the employers get a better
rate.
So yes, so you get a preferential rate, and if you buy through that, then you get a bit of a lower rate.
So but no preferential rate for me.
Unless we form a company, and then we can go and get Mapalo will just form a company. But the so what does Gap? Are there any like additional benefits that you may find in Gap Cover? I mean, one of the big things, this is important, hospital plan. If you're on a hospital plan, you are not covered for an emergency room. People don't know that.
For hospital plan?
Hospital plan, there's a big confusion because there's an insurance product which is a hospital plan which pays you 1,500 rands for every day you are in hospital.
We'll get on to that. That's more in insurance.
That's
than
insurance. Yeah. But people confuse it with medical aid. Then there is a hospital plan that is within the Medical Schemes Act that is a medical aid. So if you have that hospital plan, it's also important to see what is covered and what is not covered. There are those that covers only PMB conditions. You will only be, you are covered, you have a hospital plan. There's no day-to-day, there's nothing. It's just a hospital plan. There are others that goes beyond the, like I said earlier, the PMB options.
Because okay, one of the big things is people have landed up going, using the emergency room. Like, and unless it is actually a specific code or whatever, because emergency rooms are not part of a hospital. They're not part of the hospital. They're actually a private practice.
Yes.
And this is catching a lot of people out. And I think sometimes gap cover does cover that portion. I don't know. What are the additional benefits
because
of gap cover?
Because emergency is actually should be covered under the...
But only if it's defined. In other words, if you need to actually land up being hospitalized.
In hospital, yeah.
But if you're just seeing the emergency room because your child had stitches in their head, trust me,
yeah,
I know this.
No, because we will like get a bit shaken by something that you can go to a GP and it can wait for tomorrow and we go to the day. So it's just to manage that as well because people will go for any small thing to the ER and that's why it doesn't pay. Mm. There's a specific definition of what is the emergency that is covered under PMB.
Okay. Again, a step back for me, please. Medical aid, gap cover, hospital plan. Why do I need a hospital plan now?
No, hospital plan's part of the medical scheme.
It's part of the medical scheme.
It's a medical, yes. So in your medical scheme, there's a range of options you have. Entry level is just your hospital plan.
Okay.
No frills, no that you just
have. You land up in
a
hospital,
and
you're
it's
covered.
Mostly
okay.
Young and healthy people who will go for that option. They are young. They're still building themselves up.
The
are
risk
healthy.
Is not that much.
They, in case I'm in a car accident, I have access to quality healthcare. Then you get one with a network. You can select some hospital. Yeah, so there's a range, and then you get to a comprehensive, your Rolls Royce, which is the highest option.
And
that comes
how much do you pay for a family of four fully comprehensive? Like it's 10,
Maya,
12,000.
You're putting me in a difficult position now because there are so many products out in the market, and within each product, there are schemes with like 23 options.
Yeah.
So if you look at a comprehensive and you look at a family of four, I don't want to mislead you and start quoting. All I can tell you is that I have four people on my cover and I am paying almost 13,000 a month. But I have my mom
late joiner fees. So let's talk about
penalty.
That quickly because I know you and I've had this, we've had this discussion before with Mbali. So Mbali's mom joined the scheme later. And while a scheme cannot discriminate, they can't say you've got diabetes, we're going to charge you more like an insurer could, for example. They're not allowed to do that. They have to accept everyone on the scheme, except if you join late. They don't want people who now at 60 have never been part of a scheme and are now joining it because they're sick. Mm. And that's called a late joiner fee. And I think, when does it start?
35, at the age of 35.
So if you've never been a member of a medical scheme until up to the age of 35, the scheme can start to introduce a premium
late donor penalty. Yeah,
would you pay for the rest of your life?
For the rest of your life, yes.
And how does it show?
So it's not even like, you're going to pay this for the first 12 months,
for
and then
life.
After that it is going to go to normal rates.
No, for the rest of your life. So this is actually really why it's such a good idea, if you can afford it, to get onto a scheme when you're still young. Mm.
So I'm going to be very silly here, but can I join when I'm 32, 33, before the 35th year, before they start charging me late joiner fees?
You can.
Not advisable, but...
Well, what we're saying is, for the person who's 34 right now listening to this podcast, please go and join now.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And join a scheme. So I have been looking at medical scheme rates because obviously I write about it often. I think you can kind of get a hospital plan for a single person at about 1,200.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it's advisable to top up with gap cover.
Yes.
So for a single person, what, 200, 300 rand?
Yeah. 300 rand, so a single person about
so
300 rand. So you can 1500, you can actually, you get your scheme and the gap cover, and you might as well buy primary health insurance if you are single, just to get yourself that day to day, that access to consultations. But it depends on your needs as well. If you feel that if I need to go to a GP, I do have cash savings that I can pay, then that is not. But you can actually build up a very nice medical aid by having just the hospital plan on medical aid and buy your primary health insurance to cover your chronic medication, your dental, your optical, your GP visits, your emergency, and then you have gap cover to cover the gap that might arise on your medical aid side of things.
Okay, so now, Mapula, we've introduced another product.
Yeah.
Primary
health
cover. You better explain that to us.
I'm taking notes. I'm like, okay, there's one, there's two, and what are the cost
and
implications for all of these
things? What I
want
to understand is, why do you want to take that as a separate cover when you could just upgrade your medical scheme?
Primary health insurance is more affordable.
Oh.
So how it came about, the medical schemes have been approaching council for low cost benefit options.
Mm.
And that is not yet approved. It's a discussion.
I've been writing about that for 10 years,
just to
give you an idea. Yeah. And I think the problem has been government's been trying to push through NHI,
yes,
and they haven't wanted to introduce a more affordable scheme. And I just want to just do a little side loop here, and you can trust me because I'm a journalist, that one of the reasons medical schemes are so important, medical schemes are actually non-profit.
Mm.
They're non-profit.
Mm.
They may feel like they're making money,
yeah,
but they're not. The administrator who runs the admin can be profit, and they are always separate from the scheme, but the actual scheme is non-profit. The reason medical cover is so expensive is because these 271 conditions that have to be covered by the scheme, and that costs the scheme about 800 rand a month,
yeah,
to offer that cover. So the industry has been saying to government, can't you give us a low, you know, a light package, so that we don't have to offer, maybe instead of 271, it's 50.
Mm.
And then we can bring the prices down for more entry-level people. And government has not moved on this. And we suspect
10
because,
years later.
Yeah, because of NHI. But anyway, I just wanted to add in a little journalistic background to that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So as a result, the council then decided to give an exemption to some insurance companies to provide medical insurance. This is how the primary health insurance was born. So it's just to help people to have access to quality care. It's just the consultations. It covers your optical, basic dentistry. If you're on chronic medication, it covers your chronic medication. And it's an industry that is very innovative. Now you get nice benefits coming out of that. If you are injured, if you have an emergency, you can go to a private hospital. They stabilize you and they then move you to a private hospital. So
I mean, a government hospital.
To a government hospital.
But that's if you don't obviously have a hospital plan.
Yes.
So if you just, so you could just buy the primary healthcare option. You don't have to have, if you can't afford it, you can just go for that one.
Yes, you can just go for that one. But the late on a penalty discussion we had earlier then becomes important, because if you have that and it's working for you, you're young, you're healthy, you're 37, and then you're preparing, now you're getting married, you're preparing to have kids, and you think, now I need medical aid because I'm going to be admitted to deliver my babies. Then you have a lifetime late journal penalty because now you joined at 37. Any condition, if you are already pregnant, any existing, pre-existing condition when you join
is not covered.
No. It will be covered. You have a waiting period. And the waiting period can be anything between 3 months and 12 months. So imagine you're thinking, I'm being smart. I've just conceived. I'm going to sneak it in. Guess what? Pregnancy is a 12-month waiting period. You will have your baby at a public hospital.
Is this only after the age of 35, or can they introduce that when you're younger as well?
If it can, well, there's underwriting that happens depending on when you join and how you join. There is underwriting, but specifically joining after the age of 35 without having had cover before, that is then what we were talking about, that you will be loaded with the late journal penalty. Plus, there will be specific condition-specific waiting conditions.
So you can't be smart and join a medical scheme. So one of the things that I know that you... It's still advisable to join a scheme, even if you're already pregnant, because your child is covered.
Your child, yes.
And your child's covered in vitro. So if something goes wrong with the, I think so, with the pregnancy, then the child can be covered.
Yeah.
So there are still good reasons, but, you know, very interesting, isn't it?
Very.
So I just want to go back, because I know people are always like, what does this all cost? So say, for example, so if I just went primary healthcare insurance, what would that be?
For one person, for an individual is about 450, depending on it, because it also gives you options. They are basic, then there's comprehensive where you have more cover. So if you select the comprehensive, it's slightly more expensive because it gives you
have someone in mind who needs this.
Exactly.
Because they've been saying they don't have medical aid, but it's too costly. So I think this could be a good option for them when they're young and single as well.
Because I think we were having this discussion actually just before we started the podcast around what are the... And Mbali, you were saying somebody kind of who earns... a gross salary of less than 17,000 rand can't really afford a medical scheme, because if you think about it, you've got to have your it's 1200 rand just for a basic hospital plan. You know, that's starting to make up, that's gross salary. So by the time they take home pay, it's more than 10% of their take home pay. So for that person earning a gross salary of 17,000 rand a month, primary healthcare insurance for 450
is a solution.
It's a solution.
Yeah.
Yes, you will still have to use a government hospital, but you will be stabilized at least in a private
hospital
if it's an emergency. Then you were saying if somebody earns 30,000 rand or more, then they are very much in line for the family kind of, then you can look at the family insurance. A proper scheme.
A proper medical scheme. Yeah. So what we're seeing, the trend that we are seeing now, especially employers who make participation as a condition of employment, they are now starting to set a cap to say if you're earning less than 30,000, you participate on primary health insurance, because people are struggling financially. Mm-hmm. You cannot force them to participate in something that wipes out their take-home pay. And anyone above 30,000 and above will then participate on a medical scheme. So that is a responsibility that the employer is taking upon themselves to say, all my employees are taken care of from a wellness and well-being point of view. But it varies because they are not at all at the same level in terms of income. So for those who are on the lower end, primary health insurance is brilliant. I don't always recommend it to people who can afford medical aid, because there are other consequences far down the line. If you can afford it, you rather have an entry-level medical scheme option rather than having nothing at all or using primary health because I'm only going to pay 600 rand. That's not the way to look at it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you just don't, when it comes to your health, and one of the things you don't realize, and we've just gone through this now with my husband, and I have to tell you, we're not mentioning specific schemes on this show, but the scheme, the way they have paid out for my husband has actually been remarkable. So he was diagnosed with a genetic blood condition that required him to be on a medication for 6 months. It's not a PMB. It's not a PMB. And prescribed minimum benefit, so the medical scheme does not have to cover it. But if this condition is not treated, it will lead to major organ failure down the line. Do you know how much the medication was per month? 20,000 rand a month. So this specialist, 20, so for 6 months.
Multiplied by six.
So there was 120,000 rand. So literally it was a decision, do we send our child to university next year? Or do we pay for the medication, right? These are the kind of decisions when you get given that, because what are you going to do? You're not going to not take the medication. Mm. The scheme covered it in full because they said there's a different clause they use saying it prevents later problems. So the fact that you want to have a heart transplant one day, or
which is more costly,
which is more
than
costly,
the 120,000,
they pay for that. Now there you see the value of medical scheme.
Yeah, most definite. I actually have another example. We've just had a case recently where a young 27-year-old was on medical aid and he was in a car accident. And his claims were up to 2 million rands because his face had to be reconstructed completely. And imagine that you said you were young. If he said he was young and healthy, he doesn't need medical aid, he's buying primary health insurance, he would have been in a public hospital. Was he going to get the level of care that he got with his medical aid? No.
Probably not. Probably not. But I think that's it just goes to show the importance of these things. It might be a crash purchase when you are paying, but it really steps in when you need it the most.
And I think it also highlights doing your homework and
it
finding
does.
Out all these options and take the time to find out, to read. I mentioned I had left 6,000 rand. I would have been paid from preventative screening that my medical scheme covers, but I didn't know that I had to go and click on the authorization button. So learn about your medical scheme. Make sure you're getting the benefits and understand what is paid by risk, which doesn't deplete your savings. Mm. So I think absolutely. And I this has been, Mbali, just so insightful.
And actually there are schemes that uses that those preventative tests to unlock more benefits.
Yes.
So you can save your benefit, your savings by just go to Dis-Chem and do a test, or wherever you can go and do a test, and it starts unlocking benefits and it helps your saving to run
even longer.
So there's a lot of things. If you take time to educate yourself and understand what you are buying and understand what you need to do to maximize the benefit, then it is not that costly.
And I think it goes down to what we keep on saying, even just personal finance, that educate yourself. And look at me, that's the message I preach all the time. And in this case, I behaved like a normal consumer. But I appreciate this so much, Mbali. I'm definitely going to have a chat with you and see what actually the options are there. But for me, it's opened my eyes so much. I mean, all these terms, they just normally go over my head, but you really thoroughly explained them. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much. And to our listeners, make sure you, I think next in our next episode, we're going to get on to saving and investing, because we wanted to cover the important things like life insurance and medical schemes, because we think that is really important in your budget. But in our next episode, we'll start on the saving and investing and how to grow your money.
Thank you.